with the first pick.
And welcome back to another edition of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Devin Jackson, joined by my other co-host, Corey Kinnon. And man, we have a great, great episode planned for today. One of the premier positions in the 2023 class, the edge class. A lot of different styles, a lot of different rankings, and we'll get into that. But before we do that, Corey, how you doing, man? We're about a week away from Indy.
Yeah, I'm really excited, man. Again, we were just talking off the air. NFL's got to come through with these credentials that they're kind of slow on, but I'm really excited to be there. I was bummed out not to be in Mobile, so it's going to be an opportunity for Devin and I to link up. It's going to be an opportunity for me to link up with some other people that I've networked with in the industry, and I'm really looking forward to that. In addition to, you know, like getting the chance to ask these guys some questions, man. Like it's going to be a lot of fun. And then honestly, seeing the testing stuff too is going to be extraordinary. I went to the combine and they had like a spectator thing in the 2019 combine. And I went to that, like I got tickets all 3 days and I went to that. And like, that was the beginning of some of this for me. I was like, oh, I can do this. This is fun. I was like taking notes. They gave you a little pamphlet with everybody's names. And I was like taking notes as people were doing drills and stuff like that from the rafters. And so that was kind of the start of a lot of this for me. So that's always cool to look back on, but I'm really excited, man. Jam packed episode. I'm ready to dive in, man. But yeah, we're there, man. Spring's right around the corner. It's like 50 degrees in Ohio in February, so I don't have anything to complain about today.
Yeah, man, it's a great time of year, especially because the combine is. We talk about, like, you know, these all-star games really kind of starting the draft process, but I think it really, really you know, kind of encapsulates the entire conversation, because you're gonna have dudes that test up the charts, but does their tape match, and vice versa, dudes that don't test as well. Like, how do you sift through all that? So it's going to be a fascinating conversation during that week and then the weeks after leading up to the draft. But today, as I alluded to, we got the edge class, and man, it's a special group to start off the bat. We know the guy at the top should be a top three, top four pick, depending on how everything shakes out in the draft order and trades and whatnot. But afterwards, it's really, we talked about, you know, like receiver kind of being choosing your flavor, DB, but I think edge class is probably the most prominent choose your flavor. You got power dudes, you got bendy dudes, you got freaks of nature. So I'm excited to dive into this. And, you know, like, why don't we start off and talk about what do we see in, or how do we evaluate these players? Because they're, you know, this is going to be different projections on what position they play. It could be a 4-3 defensive end. It could be a 3-4 outside backer. Could be a stack backer situation where you're asked to rush sometimes on third downs. So many possibilities. But Corey, what do you look at most with evaluating edge dudes or edge rushers?
Yeah. So again, scheme fit is a big thing. Again, you mentioned 4-3-3-4. And I take that into consideration when I'm doing mock drafts and things like that. Like, is he a stand-up guy? Does he put his hand in the dirt? Blah, 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 blah. But I don't really take that into consideration a lot when I'm doing rankings. What I really, when I think about versatility, I do include versatility in my rankings though. And like, can he play on three downs? Is he just a situational pass rusher? How is he against the run? Like, again, can he set a strong edge? Is this a guy that has to come off the field in obvious run situations? Or is the guy that you just never take off the field? I think that's important when considering how to kind of lay out the land here. But my rankings are a little wonky compared to consensus. And I started to like look at that and like, why am I this far off compared to like where I'm seeing guys mocked? Where I see guys like in people's big boards orders compared to where I'm at. And I think it comes down to, for me, is and one thing that I really, really, really prioritize, because I think it shows up in how people win in the NFL level, is if you don't have bend, like, I'm going to drop you a little bit. Like, I'm going to knock you. And I think it just kind of goes back to, again, how defenders are winning in the NFL level. And so, like, I went to PFF and I sorted by pressures. Like, who had the most pressures in the NFL last year? Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, Hassan Reddick, Max Crosby, Za'Darius Smith, Jalen Phillips, Josh Allen, Danielle Hunter, Trey Hendrickson, and Myles Garrett were the top 10 guys. Brian Burns is 11. Matthew Judon's 11. Brian Burns is 12. Like, all of those dudes can play outside of their frame. All of those dudes can flatten tracks to the quarterback. All of those dudes have bend. They all have flexibility in their hips. So I can't ignore that trend. And so when that comes to some of those stiffer, more vertical power rushers, like I can't ignore that you're kind of bored. Like, sure, you can win through the chest, but like, can you cross face? Can you stunt back inside and take the inside track if you force an overset? Can you beat the out? Can you wear long the high side and take the outside shoulder of the tackle and flatten that track to the quarterback? Like, if you can't do that, like I'm gonna knock you, and I think that's justifiable. So we'll get to some of these power rushers that are really high on some people's rankings and why they're just not as high on mine. But that's kind of a little bit about my process. I'm interested to hear about you.
Yeah, for me, I'd say been in consideration for sure. I also like edge rushers that use their hands and use well. And I tend to like guys that have longer arms that can have that ability to kind of control offensive linemen and be able to like kind of redirect and really build off of just the speed to power or like push pull or dip and rip or swim moves. Like, I love dudes that can, they know what they're good at, but know how to kind of build off of that. So Ben is definitely a part of my process, but I also recognize like you're only gonna have a certain amount of time to get to a quarterback. So sometimes like with those bendy guys, it could be like you can tell like they're going to try some things that they know they can do, but it may not always be the most conducive rush, in that particular situation. So for me, it's like I love dudes with power, with length, but knowing how to use that, I think, is even more important versus like a guy that's kind of a ball clay that's just kind of out there and, running through dudes essentially. So for me, like, I know where the trend is going for the NFL, and I know how important that is. But also for me, I like physical dudes that will get into your chest, that will, kind of cause havoc. They'll walk you back into the quarterback. And I think sometimes that's a little undervalued, kind of in the process. Like you want dudes that are freaky, that can, like you said, flatten the edge and whatnot. But you also want dudes that, if you need them to still cause havoc, because NFL's going to those quick game and finding the RPO success. Like, you want guys that can be able to disrupt in the interior as well, and in the inside pass rush, and be a guy that a stout run defender. So I value those guys highly as well in terms of the profile, especially and just how do they disrupt. And if it's if you're a power guy, that's fine by me. But if you're disruptive on running pass downs, running and passing downs, I think that kind of weighs heavily for me.
For sure, for sure. Like, there's some guys that like stood at the Senior Bowl, and then I went back to their like during pass rush drills, and I'm like, man. And then I went back to their tape, and it's like, but you're not doing that on tape. Like, and again, I think this is where it can get a little. I'm interested in your take. What would you value higher, a guy who would be a really strong two down guy, but in situational pass, like an obvious pass rushing situations, might have to come off the field, or a guy that you would bring on in a pass rushing situation to pin his ears back, but probably isn't the strongest against the run.
I think probably the latter, because I don't want to say you can coach being able to, be on the field and run downs, but you can scheme that a little bit better versus like if you got to take you off the field, in third down situation, that's kind of what you're drafting to do for, like you want someone that gets after the quarterback. So if you don't have that third down presence, I think that certainly hurts what you can do. And then, like, it makes you a little bit more replaceable, I think I'm getting at, versus a guy that, if you're a situational pass rusher, there will always be a job for you, even if you bounce around a little bit. Two down guys, like, to me, that's like, it's not ideal because that's more, you want that more in your interior defense alignment, not a guy that is a defensive end or outside backer. Outside backers won't have that issue, but like a defensive end, like you want to be able to be on the field on those. So I value definitely the third down pass rusher versus a two down guy.
I think I agree with you. I think I agree with you on that for sure. But I'm looking at my rankings and there's some guys that, no, I mean, they're good power rushers. That's fine. It's fine. So Devin, yeah, without further ado, I think we should dive in, man. I'll let you go first. Go ahead and go first. And we'll, again, like our other positional rankings, we'll go 5 through 1, kind of talk it out. And again, because this is such a deep class, I do want to talk about these other guys, man. I really do want to talk about these other guys. So, because there's a lot to talk about, but go ahead with 5.
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me because number five could have probably gone to three other dudes, just because they're just the and we'll talk a little bit about this afterwards. But for me, number five is Nolan Smith from Georgia. I understand he didn't play entire season, obviously got hurt, but the film that's there, man, explosive, explosive, explosive. I just kept writing that down when I was watching him play. Just a guy that. You're going to get a stout run defender off the bat. You know, someone that can squeeze gaps, can shoot gaps, really, really flexible. And I was a little surprised by that. Because I was not expecting that from him. Because, like, you see kind of him flashing while you're watching other dudes like Jalen Carter and Chris Smith and other dudes on a Georgia defense, especially early in the season. But then you really focus on him. You see him be able to bend around the corner and close and whatnot. So the biggest concern for me was, you know, like you want to see the pass rush plan grow. And I think that would have happened if he played the entire season. You would have saw, I mean, Georgia probably would have blown out people probably more with him on the field. I think they were certainly missing him because they just had some younger, inexperienced guys and some older guys that weren't necessarily bendy. But for me, like, I just love what he was able to do, you know, off the ball, being able to crash down and just win on the outside track against tackles. It was really impressive for me. And it was just hard to stack him because, like, I think based on if you take his tape and compare it to the dudes I have ahead of him, he probably has better tape than maybe out of the five guys I have, probably only one or two have better tape, pure tape. But the injury, you got to take that into consideration. Just the little amount of time he played in the season, the small sample size. So certainly translatable traits. And I think, you know, he's a player that really hasn't been talked about a ton either during his process. And I think he certainly has earned the you know, the ability to be named as a top five edge player, because I think he's that impactful and that flexible and that physical. But now you want to see how healthy is he going to be coming off the injury and just what he looks like. Is he still the same caliber athlete, which I expect him to be? But those questions just couldn't make him more than five on my list, but certainly was a fun evaluation.
Yeah, man. We'll get to Nolan Smith again. Again, he's one of those guys that I'm a little offline with consensus on. So we'll get to him for sure. But I love Nolan Smith. I think he'd be a tremendous player. I've talked to some people who say he is one of the more higher character players in the draft as well. So an overall great teammate, great leader. He was a captain at Georgia. So I'm excited to talk about him a little bit later on. But I'm gonna start off my five with a bang of another like with a. The pretty big wow of somebody that I just don't line up with a consensus on for my fifth guy, and is Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech. So again, when we're talking about Tyree Wilson, like I get it, man. The body type is unreal, man. Unreal. Like he's a cyborg. He's built in a lab. Let's call it what it is. Like they don't make guys like Tyree Wilson. He was built in a lab. And it shows up in his explosiveness. It shows up with his natural raw power. It shows up with his arm length, his ability to create a bunch of leverage points. But it comes down to a couple of things for me. One, I thought he was a lot better when he was like 4i, 5 tech than he was at wide. And so when we're talking about a true edge rusher, like I don't know if 7-9 is going to be favorable for him, because what it comes down to again is like I hit on earlier, like mentioning those guys who have the most pressures in the NFL, they all have bend, and Tyree Wilson is stiff as a board, man. Like he is, again, there's you can win inside track, outside track, or straight through you. And I don't think he has another way to win except straight through the chest of the man across from him. And when he does it well. I mean, he's got a devastating long arm, he's got a devastating bull rush, but I don't see a lot of nuance outside of those two things. He's going to run well. He's going to test well, which is going to be great for him. And he's going to go top 15. Like it just is what it is. So like, I'm not saying like, oh yeah, the NFL's wrong on him, and he's not going to go first round. What? Yeah, he's going to go top 15. It is what it is. It's Tyree Wilson. But I think his pad level's a little high at times. I think because he is a little high hip, stiff hip, he kind of neutralizes his own leverage points at times. But again, he's got heavy hands. He's explosive. He's powerful. He's got all the traits you look for except for bend. Except for bend. So like, and because of that, I struggle to see like if NFL offensive tackles like watch tape on him and come to the conclusion like I gotta jump set this guy and drop anchor right away, like how is he going to adjust? How is he what he needs to add something else to his game to be able to counter that and to be able to prove that like that's not the only way he can get to the quarterback. And so I think those are the kinds of things I struggle with Tyree Wilson. But again, traits are there, man. Traits are unbelievable, and that's undeniable. So that's kind of where I'm at with Tyree Wilson.
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher on him than you, but I understand. I certainly understand because he's. I know we had Trayvon Walker last year, but I mean he is probably. He's just really tough to figure out because, like, you know what he's going to do. You know he's going to bring. I'll talk a little bit about that later why he's a little bit higher for me, but. Just needs something else. There has to be something else there. Can't just be all power. So number four for me is Miles Murphy from Clemson. And I loved his tape last year. And I thought he really explosive guy, someone that can win on the outside track, has a nasty long arm. And just able to finish and then this year. It's still the same type of player, but I didn't really see much of a pass rush plan. He's kind of like he's a really good run defender, someone that can shoot gaps, that can hold his gaps, that can close down the line of scrimmage. He has it kind of is like similar to Tyree Wilson. Like he has those intangibles and tools that you look for. Really built well, explosive guy. But for me. I just there was too many times I was watching this tape and was like, all right, give me something else besides like trying to go through his chest or use a long arm to try one on that an outside track. He's like another one of those guys that's like you see the potential, you see the build, what he's able to bring to the table. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he's gonna be another guy that tests well, but there was something for me is like I just didn't see him kind of take that next step to be, dominant. There were times like the Notre Dame game, for example, like he had his moments, he had some nice rushes, but overall, it just felt like if he tried a long arm or speed the power and it didn't work, he was just kind of stuck. And that's what kind of made it difficult for me because, like, he is the prototypical edge player that you look for size-wise, but there were just something about his plan that it just wasn't much of a plan. It was like try to out-athlete the guy. He wasn't like stacking moves and putting it all together. So that's what made it difficult for me and why I ended up at number four, which is surprising because he's getting mocked in the top 10. Like he like I get it. Like he is the physical specimen that you look for, but he's another one of those guys like I'm gonna need a little bit more from you. You know what I'm saying? Like the tools are there, the arm length, the ability, the power, but I just didn't see him like stacking and trying to and using that the bend that I think he has. So I that's why I ended up number four for me.
Yeah, I am on board with all of that th the things that you said about Miles Murphy. And again, I'll get to him a little bit later as we get to these rankings. But my number four is Nolan Smith. You had him at five. I have him at four. Again, Nolan Smith is twitched up, man. That dude is like watching his tape and watching him just like teleport gaps when he's crossing the face. Watching that dude win along the outside track and flatten the corner. That dude is twitched up. His change of direction is electric. He can get down. He can get parallel in a blink of an eye, man. Like, I was like, my eyes were popped watching his tape because he's moving like crazy. And another thing about Nolan Smith that I like, even though he's has got kind of a slender build, like that dude is physical. That dude can play the run really well. He sets a wrong edge. He understands how to win with leverage with low pad level, even if his arms are winches. So it's not like he's got these massive levers, but like he knows how to use arms to lock out blocker, keep his chest clear, and to win at the point of attack. A strong run defender for that size, top of all of the things he can do from the outside track and just blazing stiffer tackle and bending the edge. So like again, I would like him to see a little bit more refinement out of his hands. I think he does just tend to rely on his traits to get home. That bend, get off, that get off to force lots of offensive tackles back on their heels. But I do think he understands how to use lower half to set up pass rush plans when as in terms of like forcing an overset and stunting back inside, or forcing an underset, starting inside, jabbing inside with that takeoff foot, and then burning the outside track. I think he understands that. In terms of a pass rush plan, but I would like to see him incorporate his hands a little bit more. A big knock I have is like once blockers get into his chest, like I don't see a lot of hand replacement. I don't see a lot of ability to win back in positioning and get hands out of his chest. But Nolan Smith is my four, man. I love Nolan Smith's game. I think he's a first round pick. We'll see how the injury stuff clears, but on tape, man, that guy's a good football player. So.
Yeah, Nolan Smith is great, man. I don't think he should make it out of the first round, but if the medicals don't come back clean, I understand. But very impressive dude. All right, number three for me is a favorite of yours, BJ Ojulari from LSU. And I know he's certainly probably gonna be higher on your list, but man, we talked about this probably like a month ago, but I finally got around to watching Ojulari. And everything you talked about, like earlier in this podcast about bend and, you know, how having a pass rush plan and flexibility and ability to win back inside, he really checks all those boxes. Guy that, you know, everyone knows the name, obviously, but he was a completely different player in 2022 compared to 2021. Really filled out physically, was a guy that, you know, we knew he was a flexible dude, but he also added the hand usage and ability to stack moves and get into the chest of offensive linemen and be able to bend and you know, ghost move. I mean, the endless possibilities. Like he probably, I mean, if you're looking at like pure pass rush plan and bend, like I think he probably has the best combination of the two in the class. Just how smart he is too with his pass rushes. Like he's not a guy that's going to give you the same look over and over again. He's going to win on the outside track and then come back, use a swim move to win inside track, then come back and use a ghost move. Like he's a guy that like stacks moves on moves on moves. And it's really impressive. And he was surprisingly a really good run defender as well, able to set an edge, wrong arming pullers. That's something I know. So there was a play against Tennessee where he got underneath a puller and then made the tackle. So like he's not just a dude that's going to be a situational pass rusher. He's a complete player. And I just love this game. I really don't have anything negative to say about him, to be honest. I'm trying to think of something that I did like about this game, but there's really nothing that I don't. And to me, the only thing that made him three was, you know, the first two guys just obviously I'm gonna go ahead and spoil it. Tyree Wilson is ahead of him, you know, the size profile and what I talked about, like what I like in dudes. That's what Tyree Wilson checks off the box. But Ojulari is incredible, man.
Yeah, man. I again, spoiling for me, he's two. Like, and I think I'm the highest I've seen anybody on Ojulari, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's just a class where I'm gonna bet on traits, man. And Ojulari is littered with them across the board. And I'll talk a little bit about him when I get to my number two. But like, I don't know if you'll find somebody who's higher BJ Ojulari than I am. And I think he's a tremendous player, man. I think he's tremendous. But before we get there, my number three, Miles Murphy. You're number four. So again, we've got all the same guys just jumbled up in a same top five, just kind of mixed around here. I was a little disappointed in Murphy as well. The hand stuff is his 2021 tape is good, man. Like his 2021 tape is really good. But I felt like he kind of know he, like entered 2022 kind of knowing where he stood on the board. And again, Clemson lost Brett Venables. Like that could have something to do with because Brissett, I think we talked about defensive tackles. Brissett kind of the same way. Like traits are there, but like what happened on the field? Like why did the production dip the way it did? And I, you know, the loss of Brett Venables could be a turn that, but yeah, the traits are still there though. Again, that is just a freaking athlete. He's got off the charts at his size. Like he's got an unbelievable first step. An unbelievable ability to convert speed to power. So when he gets into a dude, it's like he might have the best long arm in the nation. He might have the best long arm in the nation. Just because he's got sheer strength, sheer power in his lower half to dominate with, and he's got the tools on the half to lever out and to throw his levers around like crazy. And again, and he can be like he's pretty fluid for his size, man. Like it's pretty crazy to see a guy like that move around. One area I was disappointed, but kind of a projection. I think he can slide into like 4i5 look high tech more than he like. He was exclusively an edge rusher, despite his size. Like they didn't move him at all. They didn't try to kick him in to win better matchups. They didn't do anything. Stuck him on the edge and said for it. So I think that's an area of his game that we might be able to project and say like, he can probably do that based on his traits, based on his size. Like, why didn't he? But in the NFL, he'd probably say, yeah, he's going to do that at this level as well. So I like Miles Murphy's tools. Like they're reliable. He's a freak athlete. An incredible body type. His frame is him and Tyree Wilson are both dude are kind of built in a lab. What it comes down to why I still have him so high is because edge is a position to bet on traits, and he does have nice ankle flexion and he does have nice fluid in his hips to push the outside shoulder of offensive goals, and I think that matters as I've talked ad nauseum in this episode. So that's why I still have him three.
Yeah, like you stack it how you want, but I think those guys, like you see what makes them special, you understand like what the NFL values in those type of players, and there may be some flaws, but I mean the baseline is there for sure. Two for me, Tyree Wilson, talked about a little bit already. I am just enamored with the profile, man. He was probably, I think he was like the fourth or fifth player that I watched when I was doing final eval. So maybe that has kind of a bearing on there on it for me. I think he was the second edge rusher after Derek Hall. And, you know, we talked about a little bit with Murphy. I think he has the body type and heavy hands to also reduce down as well into 4i looks. And be able to win that way. Obviously, there is just a lot that I don't want to say a lot, but there's a considerable amount of development you want to see in terms of consistently using his hands. Because, like, you know, we know he has heavy hands. We know he can bull rush and knock dudes over. But how do you control that and make it a kind of a controlled environment and controlled movement where you use it to overwhelm dudes, but you use it also to win with leverage. And one thing that I just kept writing down was he plays so high. Like if he played a couple inches lower or just, you know, bend down a little bit more, the winds and the way he controls dudes, it will be even more magnified. So I think it's a bit of a projection, hoping that he gets to that point. And I think he will. But I'm in love with the profile. I love what he's able to do, disruptive wise, shoe gaps, being able to reduce down the Baylor game. He did some nice things when he was reduced down and head up over the guard and still able to cause disruption. So there are things there in place to say, okay, you can use him a little bit all over the defensive line, but how soon he's going to be able to understand he can't just win with power. He's going to have to use his hands a little bit more, use the long arm, really start to kind of develop the tool bag. But for me, the talent and the profile and everything around it was just too good for me to have him anything higher than two. So that's where he ended up at two for me.
Yeah, man, as I said, like I almost think that Wilson's better when he does reduce inside and he's playing over the tackle at four eye or five looks. Like I almost think his better football is there. So, but I mean, I still think there's a role. Like a lot of those wide nine defensive fronts, teams that love that to run wide nine defensive fronts want a big end opposite of that wide nine. So like he could fit that role and be a three down player there. So like there's obviously avenues for success for Tyree Wilson. So again, we have the same five at different orders, so like there's not really much to argue back and forth. Like, oh, I just really don't see that. That's it just kind of like pick your flavor. And we've explained that our processes are a little bit different. And that leads me to two again, BJ Ojulari, out of LSU. Man, like I love this player. Like, there's a few prospects every year that I just like latch on to and like, yeah, this is my dude. BJ Ojulari is one of those guys, man. Like. Third, like he's got massive arms. You mentioned the body transformation stuff of the mass that he added to his frame. He got the 18 at LSU, which tells you he's a really high character guy. If you read up on him, he's actually super interesting. Like, his grandpa was an artist, I believe, in Africa, and like a prince. Hold on, I gotta look this up because it's actually really cool. Some of like his story stuff. Yeah, his parents migrated from Nigeria. And his grandparents were his grandpa was like an artist and musician who's really famous in Africa. And again, his brother plays in the NFL, second round pick in 2020, so he's got NFL pedigree. It's also a funny thing. He played right tackle in high school as well. So he's a pass rusher and he played both sides of football and played right tackle in high school. So I love that story as well. But for actual on the field stuff, like one, he's unbelievably explosive. Like his first step, his acceleration from 0 to 100, his ability to convert speed to power. So again, we go back to that adding muscle mass. He's not just a thin dude. Like he weighs 250. He's listed at 250 now. Like that's not some small pass rusher. That's not like a 230-pound Nolan Smith. That's not like, and again, we talked about Nolan Smith is still good at that size, but like this dude built himself up and it shows on the field. It shows in his ability to use his levers and set a strong edge in the run game as well. There's a clip from the Alabama game where he's got like almost he's got Tyler Steen, Alabama's left tackle, almost off the ground while he's setting an edge because he's got such long arms and such great pad level that he's got him completely locked down. And it's like your dad used to do when you were a kid, where he put his hand on your forehead and he couldn't get to, like your arms are flailing in the air. Like that's what it almost is, because again, he's got these extraordinary levers, and he knows how to anchor in and win with his pad level as well. Like he's strong. Like again, he's not like going to provide movement in the run game, but again, when he does get that speed built up, when he does get into the chest as a pass rusher, I think he converts speed to power really well. His lower body flexibility, like, might be the best in the class. Him, Nolan Smith, Will Anderson, like those dudes can really, really bend it. Will McDonald, Andre Carter, sure, all those guys are up there with the ability to bend. But like Ojulari is a rubber band, man. Like that dude can take some real tight corners, flatten some edges real fast. Unbelievable ankle flexion. He plays outside of his frame at a really high pace. And I just don't think he's a guy you got to take off the field. Like I think as a 3-4 stand-up rusher, some and in previous years where maybe he wasn't as rocked up as he is this year, like you could come back and say like, I don't know, that you might have to start that guy as a third down rotational guy, bring him on and let him put his ears back. But like I think he holds his own against the run. Like I'm really high on Ojulari, and I've heard some podcasts saying like, oh, I don't think we're talking about this guy enough. I want to take it a step further. And I think, I don't know if there's anybody not named Will Anderson better than this guy in the class. Like, I just don't know. And in my ranking, there's not. And yours, there's one more. Like, you have it in three, but like, this guy is extraordinary. Like, PJ Ojulari is extraordinary. So, his pro comp is Gumby, because that dude could just, his hips can bend side to side. It's just unbelievable. So, very, very bullish on PJ Ojulari, and I could rave about him all day, man.
Yeah, man, Ojulari was incredible this year. Just I like you said, I don't understand why he's getting mocked outside the first round and why people are a little bit lower on him. 'Cause like, you can pluck any game, but you watch the marquee games like Bama, Georgia. Really those two games stand out. But even Tennessee, like he was doing some freaky stuff in all three of those games, and it's the three best games on the schedule. And I mean, he's playing. I mean, he made Broderick Jones look silly multiple times throughout that Georgia game. So Ojulari getting out of the first round, I just don't see it, man. At this point.
I just like, even in mock drafts, I unless I'm doing the mock draft, I hardly see him in the first round though. Like, I'm like, what am I watching compared to what you guys are watching that's so different that this guy's not getting mocked in the first round? It's baffling, man. Like, 'cause I think he's extraordinary. He's extraordinary. I don't know, man, but I hope you're right. I think he's gonna blow the doors off of Indy, of Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy as well. But like, I don't know how we're not talking about this guy yet as much as I feel like we should be. Like, yeah, he's pretty relatively known as a top 50 pick, and pretty relatively known as, like, yeah, he's a second round pick. Like, I think he's way more than that. And you have him three, so like, yeah. I so that was kind of like, no first round hype is like, it's kind of weird to me.
For sure. We'll see, man. All right, number one, obviously, both of us have the same number one guy, Will Anderson from Bama. Not gonna spend a ton of time talking about him because he checks every single box, spills a run game. He was playing, I mean, he played a lot of 4-eye, 5 technique at Bama. Like, there's not enough adjectives to describe what he was able to do. Really over the last two seasons, but even this year as well. They're sending double and triple teams his way. They're sending out chip blocks. They're running the whole gamut with him. And like, look, I know like everyone like points out that rep that Darnell Wright had against him in the Tennessee game, but look, man, he got him more than a couple times in that game as well, too, with his bend ability, pushing him back, getting underneath his pads. Just a phenomenal player. Should be probably top two pick, maybe the top overall pick in any other draft. With the quarterback needy teams, obviously, but Anderson's phenomenal, man.
Yeah, in a quarterback class like last year, where Trevon Walker went first overall, like, Will Anderson would have gone first overall if he was draft eligible last year. Like, that's not a question. That's not even a question. He should have won the Heisman last year, for what he did last year. And again, his numbers did drop a little bit this year, but like, Bama's talent across the board kind of dropped off. Like, that was it's an odd Bama year. And again, teams were keying on him, but again, he's got real nice bend as well. His ability, his explosiveness is elite. Elite explosiveness. You don't see a lot of prospects with his ability to get off the ball, to instantly convert speed to power when he gets into a dude's chest. Like, he's got a great long arm, great bull rush. But I also think his ability and his understanding of how to use his lower half to set up pass rush plans is extraordinary as well. Like, he catches so many bodies. Well, by stemming inside with that first step and then burning around the edge. Just, he catches a ton of bodies that way. I love Will Anderson. Again, I don't feel like we need to talk a lot about Will Anderson, because everybody's known who Will Anderson is for 2 years. And it's not a surprise that Will Anderson's edge won, and that we're talking about him in this high regard, because again, it's Will Anderson. So, yeah. Edge one. The same way when we did a defensive tackle class, like, we should have done that same structure where we did two through six, because everybody knew Jalen Carter was one. But
Oh, for sure.
luckily, we're going to talk about a lot of edge rushers here at the end too, because I mean, this edge rusher class is a deep one, and that's that's good for teams who need pass rushers in day two, day or second round, third round, maybe even going into day three a little bit. Outside of those top five names, the same top five names that we both named, like there's probably eight or nine other edge rushers we could have named. There are two that two specifically that are getting first round hype that neither of us had in our top five. And so that's probably a good place to start. But Devin, I'm interested in who were like six, seven, eight on your list.
Yeah, so for me, 6, 7, 8. So it was Keon White, Will McDonald, Lucas Van Ness. And that group right there, like, has endless potential. Like, I understand, like, Keon White is 24 years old, gonna be 25 when he's in the league. And I understand the age and whatnot. But this man was 265 pounds. No,
280
280
pounds.
pounds, 285 pounds.
He's a big dude. He's pushing
Yeah.
three bills.
Yeah. And he's running stride for stride with running backs down the field. Like, to me, like, I understand, like, some people don't get the first round hype with him, don't think he's that great of a player. To me, like, if you're running stride for stride with dudes, you're covering running backs out of the backfield at 280, 285. I mean, there's even reports he was playing at 293 during the season. So, like, that's not normal. That is not normal. So Keon White for me is a guy that I really like. Heavy hands, plays some with some real power, and was surprisingly explosive. Like, I wish he would have done a little bit more while he was down at the Senior Bowl, but the day one was pretty solid from him. But he's really good, man. Will McDonald, I saw him down at Mobile, and I watched his film beforehand. I will preface that. I watched his film beforehand. Obviously, the 3-3-5 structure at Iowa State did him no service. Dude should be just pinning his ears back and rushing a passer every single play. Don't understand anything other than that, having them play, kind of head up or 4-I-5 technique. But then I saw him in Mobile, and I saw him actually being let go, and they let him do his thing. Dude is flexible. You talk about Gumby. I think he might be Gumby Junior. Next to Ojulari. Just crazy levers, spin move obviously is go-to move, but just the ability to win on the outside track, just flatten, down the line of scrimmage, dropping coverage like he did in Mobile. I mean, dude is he's solidify himself as a guy that I, you know what, in the right situation, I might take him to end the first round and just really develop him. So he was really good. Lucas Van Ness, obviously, too. Rotational guy, didn't really start at Iowa, but really, really explosive, really good long arm as well. So those are the next up guys for me, with Zach Harrison just behind Van Ness. But man, I like those. I like that group 6 through 8 a lot.
Yeah, we have the same 6 through 8 as well. Just again in different orders. I have Van Ness, White, McDonald, as those guys. And the reason I'm a little bit lower is because I didn't see a lot of ability to hold his own against the run. And so again, I think McDonald can develop into a rotational pass rusher and even a starter, even in like as a rotational, even on run like obvious rundowns, early downs. I think he might have get his start as a guy you look in on third down in obvious passing situations and pin his ears back, because again his explosiveness, his bend, is extraordinary. His ability to get after the passer is well documented, but I'm get blown off the ball quite a bit on rundowns, and so I have him a little bit lower. Van Ness and White though are like in that same tier as Tyree Wilson for me. Those overly explosive dudes who are just pretty vertical. In terms of their ability to move. Honestly, Keon White might be the most fluid out of all those three guys that I just mentioned, which is wild because he's 6'4" and a half and 280 pounds, man. But like I saw this dude playing outside of his frame, a pretty good deal. Where my gripe with White comes in a little bit, again, he'll be 25 as a rookie. Like that's hard to look past. This is only his third year of football as a redshirt senior, a sixth year senior, between Old Dominion and Georgia Tech. Like that's a little concerning. I wish his hands were a little heavier. Like he's a big dude. He's obviously really explosive, powerful, but like I don't think his punch mirrored that, nor his ability to convert speed to power. I actually thought he had a really nice repertoire of pass rush moves from chop rip to forklift. Like I thought he was doing some nice things with his hands. His placement when he did get into chest, like the chest of dudes across from him was nice. I like his pad level. I just wish his hands were a little heavier, and I wish he converted speed to power once he did get into the chest. And then Harrison is kind of in that or I'm sorry, McDonald and Harrison are kind of in that fourth tier. So like if I had to break it down by tiers of the names we've mentioned so far, like Will Anderson is tier one. Like that's the way it is. And then for me, I would say Ojulari, Murphy, Smith two, Wilson, Van Ness, White tier three, McDonald, Harrison tier four is probably how I would have it down. Again, Zach Harrison did some nice things. There were a lot of expectations on Zach Harrison in 2021. Like the 2021 preseason, people were like mocking this guy as a top 10 pick. Again, because you hear the stories of how he ran like a 10-second 40 or 10-second 100-meter dash in high school in tennis shoes in the rain because they didn't have spikes that fit his feet. Like you hear stories like that of the freak athlete he is, and he's gonna test really well in Indy, and people are gonna he like his stock's gonna go up in Indy. But like I felt like in 2021 he was trying to do too much. He didn't know who he was as a player. He was trying to prove that he could win outside track with Bend. He was trying to prove all these things. And I think he really reduced his game in 2022 and learned, like, listen, man, I have massive arms. I am unbelievably explosive and powerful. Like, I just got to go through guys' chests. And again, when we're talking about, the top five dressers, that's a gripe I have with Tyree Wilson is that I just go through guys' chests. But now we're talking about a fringe top 50 to 75 pick. Like, in that range, like, yeah, find what you do and do it well. And if you need a guy who needs to do something like one thing well, that's kind of where you draft guys in that range. I think Zach Harrison is in that range. And I even saw really nice things with his hands. And like the offensive tackles that he went against this season, like he's got an impressive resume. Skoronski's on there, Jalen Duncan is on there, Broderick Jones is on there. Like we're talking about top tackle. He goes against freaking Dwan Jones and Paris Johnson every single day in practice too. Like those are that's the top five. Like that's a good chunk of offensive tackle. I'm not gonna put Jalen Duncan in the top five, but like that's a good chunk of offensive tackles we're playing with too. So Zach, and I still think could shock some people with how high he could go, especially once next week's done. Like, I think Zach Harrison could still be a sneaky, like, top 50, maybe top 40 pick. But like at minimum, that dude could play big end for you. That dude's a three down big end, like at minimum. So I think there's a lot to like with Zach Harrison as well.
Yeah, Harrison was a guy we talked about before the show or before the podcast started. And, one thing you talked about using his hands, like he's a very cerebral rusher too. Like he understands, like even in game adjustments, like you see him understanding like how they're attacking. And you talked about the top tackles, obviously Olu Fashanu, who went back to school, could have possibly been a top tackle too. And Fashanu did a pretty good job on him through his first three quarters, but then in the fourth quarter, you saw him understanding where he can beat Fashanu at, and he was using his long levers to essentially like prevent Fashanu from getting his hands on him and like hand fighting and be able to win back inside. So Harrison was really impressive for me because like he was a guy that you watched the first go around like okay he's probably gonna be a guy that just goes through people's chests and kind of that type of rusher, but then you see him really work his hands and really develop over the course of a game. Like it's very rare you see a guy changing up how he attacks like from quarter to quarter, and he was doing that at a pretty high level. So a lot of good things from Harrison. Honestly, he might be a guy that when we talk about edge rushers in a month or two, he might mix up in my rankings a little bit, not probably in the top five level, but certainly through that 6 through 9 area. But Harrison was really impressive too, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just a really good class. There's like so many names we could talk about that we just don't have the time to. Like,
Yeah, Derek Hall is
wow.
another guy too, that like And I tell you, like, I'm not super high on him, but like, he has fans out there. Like, people really like what he does, and what he does well. He's very physical. Same type of dude who's gonna go through your chest, use that long arm to really convert. Thought he could be for what he did down in Mobile. You would think he is as good of a run defender as he was in Mobile, and at times it just didn't match up on film. Like that Georgia game, really struggled. You know, like I thought he would be a guy that really wrecked that type of game, that type of environment for them to kind of have a chance, but. It's a little disappointing what he brought to the table, in some of his bigger games.
Yeah, Derek Hall, again, his explosiveness is up there at the top of the class. Like that dude's linear explosiveness is very good. Like it's great. But again, he's stiff as a board as well. He's another one of those guys that just has no flexibility in his hips whatsoever. Like that dude cannot bend. That dude has a little bit of ankle flexion, but for the most part, like he's not playing outside of his frame very much at all along the outside track. I don't think he knows what he's doing with his hands at all, man. Like, I don't see any semblance of a pass rush plan. Like, that dude is exclusively bull rush and long arm. And that's what you're gonna get. He's gonna run through you. And so I think again, in Mobile, he did an excellent job of in those run game drills of setting strong edges and locking out and really leveraging gaps, gapping out. Like very, very good at it. Again, even in one-on-ones in Mobile, like designed for pass rushers to kind of like show off what they got. Like, I didn't see a single rep in like the pass rush drills and like, hey, man, that's a good counter. That's a good stack. That's a good pre-snap plan. Like, I don't think he knows what he's doing as a pass rusher or other than like, I'm gonna put a bullseye on your chest and I'm gonna go through you. And so I can't overlook some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was a tough one because, like, in the same breath, like, I like dudes that kind of have that type of pass rush plan, but then, like, the handwork was just almost non-existent, man. Like, come on, like you were a big dude. Like, you can get off these blocks and use your hands to fight back. And I just didn't see enough of that on film. And you know what? Maybe he takes that step at the next level, but right now I'm just not seeing it. That like I think he's certainly draftable in the top 100, but I think he's not going to be, obviously he's not as high on my list as some of the other players.
He's getting first round hype. Like I just recently saw him in a first round of a mock draft, and I can't get there. That's 2 rounds earlier than I'd take him. I can't get there. Like I think he'd be a great like 75 to 10, like to 110. That's his range. 75 to 100. Like yeah, I could get on board with Derek Hall there. But like, boy, if you're taking him even in the second round, you better have something figured out for him. Like. Because he's got the game, like the he's got the play of a big end, but he played exclusively the 3-4 stand-up rusher in college. Like asking that guy to put his hand in the dirt and play over to like across from the tackle, like that's different than anything he's ever done before. So like, but I also don't love him as a 3-4 stand-up rusher. Like
Yeah,
I just don't like I
I
don't
don't see him dropping in coverage. I just can't see
no.
it.
So he's a really tough one to figure out scheme-wise. Like, what does he do well, and how does that line up with what he's done in college and what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL?
Yeah, he's a tough one. Any other names you can think of or you want to mention?
Yeah, man. And maybe we should, he's better like to mention on the linebacker podcast. But like, Nick Erbig is good out of Wisconsin. Nick Erbig is talk about a dude who. Is a seasoned pass rusher, knows how to set up a pass rush plan and knows how to execute to hit counters. I think I mean, his play strength is bad because, but like, if Nick Erbig was 2 inches taller and 20 pounds heavier, we're probably talking about this guy in the first round. But again, he's listed, just listed at 6'2", 227, which means he's probably 6'1", and is going to be eating some peanut butter sandwiches to get up to 230 for the combine. Like,
For
that's
sure.
probably what we're talking about. Like, but man, his game is so good. He's explosive. He's bendy. He's got excellent hands. But the play strength isn't there. The ability to convert feed to power isn't there, obviously, because that element of physicality is not in his game. But like, if some team can find out how to use him as like a base Sam linebacker in an obvious passing situations, you let him play on the outside shoulder of a big end, like you've got a player. So like Nick Irvig's, I love Nick Irvig. Like he's a player I would pound the table for, but like he just isn't a top eight, top nine, top 10 edge rusher in this class because of those physical limitations to his game. But again, I think there are very easy ways to scheme him into success, based on what he has on tape. And again, for me, I think that's like if he's a base Sam linebacker, where you still kind of let him line, you know, on the strong side off the edge, and then let him pin his ears back on passing downs. Like, the dude's a player. So I would pound the table for Nick Irvig.
Yeah, guy that I like that disappointed me during the Senior Bowl week, Isaiah McGuire from Missouri. I like some of his tools, his handwork on film and being able to win on the outside track, but then he did none of that down in Mobile. Like he really struggled, like winning outside track, even working back inside. Like these are things he did on his film, like against the Tennessee, against Georgia. And I thought, coming down to Mobile, like, okay, maybe this is coming out party. You can show that you can stack really good play. But then it was kind of the opposite. It was like he was almost invisible down there. You like kind of forgot about him and what he was able to do. So I'm interested to see, one, how he tests. Is it going to be any, semblance of like, okay, is the film matching up with the testing? Like what's going on here? Like right now, like to me, like coming in, like he had a fourth round grade for me, before Senior Bowl, but then like get some of the best competition. Like it just didn't feel like, I don't, it almost didn't seem like he belonged. So like now I think he's like, maybe is he a 6th, 7th round guy that, is probably going to be a situational rusher? Probably, at this point. So he was a guy that to me, like he did the opposite. Like, how some guys like don't impress you a ton on tape and then they go down somewhere and really impress you. Like he did the opposite for me. So now I kind of wonder, like, how flexible are you? Like, how refined are you as a pass rusher? Like there were just a lot of questions for me, especially after that week.
He was one of those guys, like there are always guys every week that's like, man, this guy hasn't won a rep all week. And unfortunately, like I felt that about McGuire. And like I liked a lot of McGuire's 2021 tape. I haven't watched his 2022 yet, but like some of his 2021 tape, like he took Bernard Raimann to the shed, like when Missouri played for Michigan. And that guy went in the third round and he was getting first round hype last year. Like and Isaiah McGuire beat him to hell for 60 minutes. I'm just going to dive into his 22 to kind of see where we're at. But I think there are two more names, Devin, that we need to talk about because, again, it's a deep edge class. And these are guys that frequently get mocked top 50. And obviously, it's not there for either of us, but we need to talk about it. And that's Felix Anunoike Uzomah from Kansas State and Andre Carter of Army. So, Devin, where are you at with those guys?
Yeah, I'm pretty low on both those guys. Carter was a tough one because I really, really liked his 21 tape. Like towards the end of that season, like I'm like, okay, maybe this is a guy, he comes back next year. Maybe he's a top 50 guy. Maybe he's, sniffs the first round. But man, like the build is problematic. Like he can win on the outside track, has some ability to do that and show some ability to counter even on film. Then the Senior Bowl, just it just wasn't consistent. Like he's gonna be a liability on running downs. Like he I don't think he can hold up on running downs. I think he's gonna be a situational pass rusher, especially early on. So for me, like I don't see those guys going, like, I can see him, like, if he tests really well, bulks up a little bit, adds a little bit to his frame, I can see him going the top 3 rounds. But as it currently stands, I think he's a day three edge rusher just based on him just being kind of a rotational guy.
So I've actually heard some really interesting things about Andre Carter because I agree with you where he's currently at, like that you can't put that dude on the field on run like early downs, like you just can't. And I mean his lower half is a twig, like he's a twig in his lower half, like he gets blown off the ball in those running situations. But I did hear something because the army has like weight stipulations. The academy has weight stipulations. I've actually heard because he's 6'7", he's so tall that like he had to be so thin to get under those weight requirements. And now that he's out of the academy, I've heard that he has, I mean, he obviously has a frame to add a lot of mass, that he could add mass quickly, which he desperately needs to do. But again, because the academy has those height weight requirements, he had to stay really thin to get under the weight requirements because he is just a massive dude. So that's something I'm really interested in. But as it stands, yeah, man, that dude can't be on the field in goal line situations, short yardage situations, and even like you just might have to put him in on the field in obvious passing situations, and that's it to start his career. Like, I would be skeptical otherwise.
For sure. I haven't seen a ton on the Kansas State pass rusher, so I'll let you speak to him. I didn't get to him yet.
Yeah, I mean, people love him. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's a solid, like, if you need a guy who's a rotational edge rusher who can spot start if a guy gets hurt, if a guy goes down and you need a big end, maybe he can even play some seven, some nine. Like, yeah, I can see it. But again, I think he's stiff. He's one of those other stiff guys. And I think there is some nice power. He does have a nice power profile, but I don't think he knows what he's doing with his hands. Like, I think a lot of his hype goes back to a four sack game from a year ago. So like, but I mean, he replicated production this year, another 11 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks this year. Like he's a good sturdy player, but I don't think he has a trait that really separates himself. I don't think his pass rush plan is nearly as refined as I would like it to be. Like he's pretty much a power rusher and he's just going to try to go through you. So it's hard for me to translate that. I think he'll run well. I think he'll jump well at the combine. I don't know about anything else other than that.
For sure. I mean, like I said, I haven't gotten to him, but I know there's a lot of top 50 buzz around him and being mocked pretty high. So definitely gonna get to him. Probably not ahead of next week, but certainly in the next few weeks, as you start heading towards a draft. But yeah, man, that kind of puts a bow on this edge class. Really talented group, and as always, there's always 12 to 15 dudes that you have to mention or talk about with these classes, because there's so many different styles and it's a premium position. So you're going to get a lot of different players and kind of seen differently, from person to person. It just really depends on your flavor of pass rusher. But yeah, man, that another great episode down here. So before we head out, want to remind you to check out Homage on the Substack. Make sure to use the link so we can get a little bit of money from that. But until next time, on the next episode, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the guys that we're looking forward to most testing down at the NFL Combine. Before we head out, anything else you want to say, Corey?
Not really, man. Again, we're two episodes a week now, so we'll be back later again this week for a second episode. I think we've only got four more position rankings to go through, so we're getting through that quickly. I don't know what we're doing. We haven't decided that yet, but we'll figure that out for the next episode. Again, combine next week, man. We're really on the home stretch. Like we are really on the home stretch, and I'm so excited, man. I'm really excited. So again, hopefully we can come back post combine with some really fun stories to bring to the pod. About shenanigans in Indy, but other than that, I think that's it for now.
For sure, man. Make sure you leave a comment if you want a question asked here on the podcast. But until next time, I'm Devin Jackson and Corey Kennan for the Daft on Draft podcast.